it on? Okay. Welcome. We welcome you. We welcome each other to this worship service on the fourth Sunday of Lent here at Prairie Street Mennonite Church. Even in this dark season of Lent, we have come to worship. Please stand and come and see as Carolyn leads us. Number 20. In the hymnal.
We will sing verse 1, and then down at the bottom is the chorus, and you can choose a part there. And then we'll sing verse 2, and the chorus, and verse 1 again.
O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Let's pray. We have come to worship you, Lord, and to bow before you, our Maker, because you have summoned us. Your Holy Spirit has gathered us. We pray that in this service of worship, we would hear your voice and not only our own, and that you would grant us ears to hear. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We continue worshiping and singing with Sing the Story number 58.
Number 58. And in the same book, number 49. Number 49.
Thank you.
It is good for us to confess our sins to God. Our confession this morning will be with the words of Psalm 51. After each line, I will ask you to respond, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Lord, have mercy. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Lord, have mercy. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Lord, have mercy. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Lord, have mercy. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Lord, have mercy. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Lord, have mercy. Please stand and hear and receive these words of assurance. Our Lord does have mercy upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, and by his Holy Spirit grants us forgiveness and peace. Let us share Christ's peace with the world and with each other. The peace of Christ be with you. Children, would the children come, please? Jeanette Crable has something for you, and it has to do with something called mud cloth. Come and see.
Good morning, you look great today. Welcome to Children's Time. We're on a journey, but before we talk about our journey today that involves mud cloth and some mud, let's pass this around. If you have, that's okay, you just put your hand on that basket and bless it and pass it to the next person. Thank you. Yeah, just, okay, and take the whole basket and pass the whole basket, perfect. Wonderful. God takes those gifts and blesses them, makes them bigger, and helps someone else. Well, we have been on a journey. And if you look up here at this table, we can remember the journey we've been on. We went through the wilderness with Jesus, and then remember the dark velvet night with Nicodemus. He went to Jesus and asked questions because he didn't want to come during the day, and he had so many questions he didn't understand. And last week, this lovely blue cloth, look at it flowing like a river. Remember the well, the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman? Yeah, and Jesus was thirsty and asked her for a drink, and boy, it was so complicated after that. It was a big discussion. And today, look at this cloth here in the middle. It's called mud cloth. And I brought it from Ivory Coast, but I think it was probably made in the country of Mali. And it's dyed with mud. Yeah. And it's a heavier cloth. It's dark like mud. And I got some mud. It's in a pretty fancy bowl. Don't usually see mud in this kind of a container. But this is some mud. And what they do with that cloth is take different types of soil and use them as dyes, and they come out different colors. So that is kind of fits in with our story, because in our story today, remember all of these stories we took from the Bible, and today's is from John 9. And it's a long story. It starts here, this is small print, and it goes the whole way down this column, and the whole way down that column continues over here. I'm only going to tell you a little part of it, but Brent, during the sermon, is going to tell us more of that story. It's very interesting. Today, it has to do with a blind man. He couldn't see until he met Jesus. And that's where the mud comes in. Because Jesus, this blind man, he sat by a pool of water all day long begging. I'm not sure what he said, but I can imagine him begging. Why did he do that? Well, in those days, there weren't seeing eye dogs and lots of equipment and training for people who had disabilities, and he sat. And that's what he could do to help his family. And then people came by and had pity on him and gave him a few coins. And he was sitting by this pool, by the water, by the pool of Siloam. And Jesus came by, and the blind man was sitting there. Now, it says in there that I am making mud. I know it's a dangerous thing to do in church. I thought about this a couple times. I know. This is exciting. Yeah. Well, right. So Jesus didn't do it in that way. He spat, took his saliva with some dirt on the ground and made some mud. So we're doing it in like a fancy way. But he took this mud, and you know, it's not a pretty thing. He took that mud and put it on the blind man's eyes. I wonder what the blind man thought. So he put it on the blind man's eyes, and then he told him to go wash. And then when he did that, he opened, you know the story, wonderful. He opened his eyes and he could see. That's pretty fantastic. I mean, if that happened to me or you, you would be jumping up and down, you would be amazed, and so was this man. He went and did what Jesus said, and then he could see. It's amazing, listening to the voice of Jesus. But the story gets complicated. If it were just that much that Jesus healed somebody, we wouldn't have that long, long story, because this man encounters people who don't really believe him. His neighbors say, oh, that's not the blind man. That couldn't be him. That couldn't be him. He said, it's me. Yeah. And then the religious leaders calling in because it's complicated, and they want to know how and where and why and under what power this man could see. The blind man said, well, this man, Jesus, he put mud in my eyes and I washed, like he said, and I can see. They were scratching their heads and they still didn't believe. They called in his parents. Is this really your son? Was he really blind at birth? Are you sure? Parents say, yeah, this is our kid. He's a big boy. Go ask him about it. He's an adult. And this goes on and on. The religious leaders come back. Finally, the blind man, every time he just says the same thing. I told you. Jesus put mud in my eyes and I can see. I wonder why those people asking all those questions were so blind. Isn't that crazy? That's the irony of this story, the craziness. But you know what? We're all a little bit like that. And that's our prayer today for all of us, that sometimes something we can see, but we don't really see what's going on. We don't see something from another's point of view. We just don't see clearly. We're a little bit blind. And we want God to help us with that. Let's pray. Dear Lord God in heaven, you see clearly, we know that, and we don't. Help us to walk with you. Put mud in our eyes, talk to us, open our ears, do whatever it takes to help us listen to you and see a bit more clearly today and tomorrow. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture this morning is indeed John 9. We will read the introduction to this story, and the rest will be presented to you. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth.
Al pasar Jesús, vio a un hombre ciego de nacimiento.
His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?"
Y le preguntaron sus discípulos, diciendo, "Rabbi, ¿quién pecó, este o sus padres, para que haya nacido ciego?"
Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work."
Respondió Jesús, "No es que pecó este ni sus padres, sino para que las obras de Dios se manifiestan en él. Me es necesario hacer las obras del que me envió, entre tanto que el día dura. La noche viene cuando nadie puede trabajar."
"As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world."
"Entre tanto que estoy en el mundo, luz soy del mundo."
When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent.
Dicho esto, escupió en tierra e hizo lodo con la saliva y untó con el lodo los ojos del ciego y le dijo, "Ve a lavarte en el estanque de Siloé," que traducido es enviado.
Then he went and washed and came back, able to see.
Fue entonces y se lavó y regresó viendo.
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
Brent Aish will be presenting this story from the Gospel of John, and we will pray for him and for us. Lord, we thank you for your servant Brent and for his gifts. We pray that through him and through your word, our blindness will be healed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can you all see me? I mean, really, do you see me? Because you might not. I mean, I'm not in my spot exactly. I have this spot, see, and you know, out here in front of the temple with all my peeps, you know, the lame girl over here, she just kind of lays there. And this kid with only half a hand, Mordecai, three fingers brown. You know him, maybe. And And Lefty, Lefty over here, wave to the people, Lefty. There's nothing else wrong with him. He's just left-handed. It's not a very enlightened society, I guess. Yeah, I mean, we're beggars. We're all beggars here in this row. Even me. I'm blind guy. Well, I was blind guy. I mean, I can see now, but I was blind. Blind from birth. And that's why I had this spot, but well, I don't have it now because I can see. But until yesterday, I was blind. I was sitting here in my spot, and it's on the Sabbath, and traffic is heavy, you know, and you can just hear the whole world go by. And you get all kinds of people and all kinds of responses. And so I'm sitting here, and I hear the hurrying steps of a grumbling worshiper who's just can't figure out why all these filthy, dirty beggars have to be right here. I just come to worship to be inspired, to get energy for the next week. I don't need all these downers. Or the foot-dragging teenager, the exasperated daughter following her mother, you know. Ah, mother. And mother's dragging her along. Oh, look, dear. Here's a nice blind man. Would it really kill you to just brighten his day? I mean, oh, excuse me. I mean, cheer him up with a few coins and a C. I'm sorry, not C, but that doesn't it feel nice to help the less fortunate? Don't you feel better? And then my favorite. My favorite, the kind of strolling pace of the pronouncers. Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Well, you know, you get everything. You get disgust, you get pity. You get this kind of self-righteousness, you know, and all of us on this row, we know our lives stink. You know, all these people going by, they have jobs, they have homes, they have friends, they have enough money to take care of themselves and their families. I mean, God is blessing them, right? Why not us? I mean, I wondered. I've thought of that. So, it's like all the other times I sit here and wonder what has happened. Something must have happened that God would let us suffer. So I'm waiting now for some guy who doesn't know me, doesn't know my family, some teacher who's learned all kinds of things but who's probably never suffered, now he's going to give his verdict. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. But he was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. I I'm the light of the world. And I said, what is he talking about? God's works revealed in me? I mean, maybe this guy's different somehow. God could do something in me? And I'm trying to figure this out. And I hear somebody, like this clearing of your throat sound, you know, and like somebody's getting ready to spit, I'm thinking, well, maybe this guy isn't as different as I think he is. I mean, this wouldn't be the first time I got spit on, you know. I mean, blind beggar guy, what is he going to do? And then I hear this spit. But nothing happens. I don't feel anything. And I think, well, maybe he won't notice that he's missed if I just kind of sit here quietly, you know. Yeah, sometimes they don't notice us very much, really, once they do their thing and go on. But then somebody, I hear this sound, this goopy sound kind of, and the first thing I know, somebody's smearing stuff on me. And I said, dude, what is with you? This is too gross. Not cool. What are you doing? And he says, go to the pool called Send, Siloam, and wash. I think, okay, yeah, great, right. Yeah, your face is dirty. Why don't you wash it now? Yeah, that's nice. That's really nice. No, you smeared spit and mud all over me, and then you send me on the scavenger hunt? What are you? But I guess they moved on. I don't know. I didn't hear anything anymore, and I, what am I supposed to do? So I went. I went to find this pool, and it takes a while, and I find the pool, and I wash. And I get all the stuff off me, and suddenly I can see for the first time in my life. I can see. I mean, it felt hard before, but now I see the stone. I see the wood. I smelled the fragrances before, but now I can see the flowers. I heard the singing, but now I could, my first birds, I could see. Well, I ran back. I never had run before either. I'm a blind guy, you know. I ran back and yelling that I could see. And I hear these voices, and I recognize these voices. These are people I know, people I've known my whole life, have known me, my neighbors. And I say, I can see, I can see. And And they look around and they look at me and they say, isn't this the guy who used to sit in this spot and beg? And I said, yeah, it's me. It's me. I can see. Isn't it great? And they said, others were saying, no, it's not him. I mean, it's somebody like him, but it's not him. And I said, no, it's me. It's me. I can see. Isn't that great? Don't you recognize me? It's me. Wait. I know. Wait. Now you see, you get it right. You see me. And they say, "Hey, blind guy, it's you." And I say, "Yeah, it's me. I can see. Isn't it great?" And they say, "Well, yeah, that's great, but you're supposed to be blind. I mean, how is it you see?" And I said, "Well, this man, Jesus, he came and he put mud on my eyes, and then I went and I washed, and then I could see. And I'm not blind anymore." Isn't that great? Aren't you happy for me? And he said, "Well, yeah. I mean, blind guy, sure, no, I'm not blind. I can see." "Well, formerly blind guy, we're happy for you, but you know, we just don't know what to think of you, of this, of all this. I mean, you know, you've been blind all these years, and now suddenly you're not blind. I mean, what's that? And where's this Jesus you said? Where is he anyway?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. I mean, does it matter really? I can see. Aren't you happy for me?" And they said, sure, blind guy, we're happy, but you know, we just don't know what to think. I mean, all this, you know. Well, we know. We'll take you to the temple tomorrow. To the big muckety mucks. They'll know that the scholars. They've learned a lot. They've figured it out. I mean, they'll know what to do about this. They'll sort all this stuff out, right? And yeah, so sort it all out. I'm thinking, what are they talking about? What's this sort out? Isn't this something to celebrate? I mean, can't God bless me too? So anyway, that was yesterday. And then this morning, they take me to the Pharisees, to the temple. And they say, "Here is this blind guy." And I said, "No, I'm not a blind guy. I can see now. I can see this formerly blind guy who says he's been healed, but he doesn't say why he's been healed. And well, we thought that you might know who sinned, you know, was it him, was it his parents, and you could figure this all out, and maybe, you know, you could sort all this out and settle this for us." And they said, "Well, yes, I'm sure we can get to all that, but why don't we just hear this story now? So tell us, blind man, what happened to you?" And I say, "Well, he put mud on my eyes. And I went and I washed, and now I see. And who did this to you? Well, this man, Jesus. He's the one who did it. And just when did all this happen? Well, yesterday. See, I was sitting in my spot, and you know it, and it's a Sabbath, and traffic is heavy, you know, and I'm just in. He did this on the Sabbath. This man, Jesus, put mud on your eyes on the Sabbath, and I went, yeah, yes, what? This man must be a sinner. If he doesn't observe the Sabbath, he must be a sinner. Who is he? And they argued back and forth. Some said, he must be a sinner. He doesn't observe the Sabbath. Others said, how can he be a sinner and do this miracle? And I'm just listening back and forth as they're arguing back and forth, and I'm thinking, hey, guys, I can see. Doesn't that mean anything to anybody? Finally, they said, okay, blind man, what do you have to say about him? About this Jesus. It was your eyes he opened. I don't know. I'm no authority. Finally, I said, well, he's a prophet. Well, that didn't settle anything. They just got mad at me, and they seemed to think that I lied either about being blind or maybe I lied about having been healed, and I don't know what, but anyway, they made me wait, and they sent for my parents, and I waited, and I saw my parents come, and I waved to them, and I said, over, Mom, Dad, over here, and they just kind of nervously glanced at me and quickly went up into the temple. And so I'm listening just to try to hear what's going on. And I hear the Pharisees saying, so, is this is your son whom you say was born blind from birth? And how is it that he sees now? And then I hear my dad, and he's saying, well, I mean, he's son? Our son? Well, I mean, and then Mom, he's ours. Well, technically, he's our, biologically, well, biologically, okay, he's our son, but blind, I don't know, you know, I don't know anything, but as a bat, dear, that's, mother, that's kind of harsh. I mean, he doesn't see well, certainly. Blind as a bat, always has been. Mother, please. We said I would do the talking. Okay. Technically, but biologically, he's our son, and he is blind. He was blind from birth. From birth, he was blind, but we don't know anything about why he sees now, or who Help them to see. We don't know anything about that. I heard it was Jesus. What did she say? Jesus. Jesus. She loves Jesus. Any kind. Doesn't matter. We have to... We've got to get some on the way home. Now, Mother, shh. Jeez. Look, we don't know anything about what happened to our son. Why don't you ask him? He's of age. He can speak for himself. And so they come out of the temple. And I said, I just didn't get it. I said, Dad, what is this? Aren't you happy? Why aren't you just jumping up and down for joy? I can see. I mean, after all these years, and this is the temple, aren't you grateful to God? Aren't you? These are holy men. Surely they know it's from God. Surely they do. And what about this man, Jesus? Aren't you grateful to him? I mean, I just didn't understand. And so I'm looking at them, and Dad is reaching into this basket that Mom brought, and he's helping me on with this coat, and he says, "Look, son, there comes a time in every man's life when he has to stand on his own two feet and say what he thinks, and son, that time has come for you right now." And I mean, son, these are powerful men. They have our whole future in their hands. You wouldn't want us to be outcasts, would you? Do you have any idea what that would be like? I said, "Dad, Mom, I've been blind. I'm a beggar. What do you mean? Do I have any idea what this would be like?" He said, "Son, just look. Okay, just go in there. Stand up straight. Go in there. Try to be a good boy. Okay? Look, I hear them calling. Like, you're on your own. Gotta go. Bye." And they leave. I said, "Dad, Mom, Dad, you're leaving me?" So I don't know, I turned and went back in to the temple and to the Pharisees, and they said, "Give glory to God. This man, Jesus, whom you want to give the credit to, he can't have come from God. He doesn't observe the Sabbath. He must be a sinner." I said, "Oh, I don't know. I don't know if he's a sinner or not. But I know one thing. I was blind, and now I see." And they said, "What did he do? What did he do to you? How did he make you see?" And I said, I told you, and you wouldn't listen. I mean, how many times do you need to hear it? Are you so eager to hear it again? I mean, does he know something about God that you don't know? Or do you want to be his disciples too?" And that really made him mad. And they said, You're his disciple. You're his disciple. We're disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses and gave him the law. And the law is sacred. But this Jesus, who flaunts the sacred law, who dishonors Moses, we don't know where he's come from. And I said, well, you don't know where he's come from? I mean, do I have to choose really between Jesus and Moses? I mean, did Moses open the eyes of a blind man? Jesus did. Surely this is from God. I mean, surely you can see that. This is from God. If this man was a sinner, God wouldn't listen to him. We know that God only listens. God listens to people who worship God and who obey God. If this man hadn't come from God, well, he couldn't do anything. And then they got really mad. Sinner! They said, blind man! Sinner, you would teach us. You would teach us. Sinner! Man born blind, you've been blind from birth. You've born in sin. You would teach us. You think this sinner can heal you? If that's what you think, then get out of this holy temple. And they threw me out. So I guess my neighbors were right. I mean, these guys, they certainly have it all figured out, who sinned and who didn't. I guess it was me. My parents, I guess they were right. So now what? I got no friends, no family. My family leaves me. At least I got my spot. At least I got my spot here. What do you mean, lame girl? This is for beggars only. What do you mean? You're kicking me out too? Mordecai, three fingers, what do you say? Lefty, what about you? A2 lefty? I mean, so now I got nothing. No spot, no family. My worshiping community rejects me. What am I going to do now? I'm not even blind anymore. And where is this Jesus anyway? Where is this rabbi? He's not here. Was I just another object lesson for his students? A way to impress his entourage? And I felt so alone, as I ever felt in in all those years of darkness. But then I heard some steps, and I recognized these steps, and I've had years to get good at recognizing particular step. And I know this step. It was that Jesus, and I recognized the step, and I recoiled kind of on just impulsively, and I said, you're not going to spit on me again, are you? I mean, because I think you've done enough already. And he just smiled and he shook his head and he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And I thought back to the Pharisees and what I'd told the Pharisees, and I answered, well, who is he? Tell me so that I can believe in him. And Jesus said, you are seeing him. And the one talking to you right now . The one speaking with you is that one. And I said, Lord, I believe. And I did. I do. I do believe. I see. I was blind, but now I see. And Jesus said to me, I came into this world so that the blind will see. But those who say they can see, they'll be blind. And I remembered that he said, That God's works would be revealed in me. In me. And it's true. You know, I'm not just a sign and a bearer of sin and brokenness. But I'm a revelation of God's goodness. It's true. It's true. I can see. I've been blessed. And I remembered that Jesus said that God had sent him. And I remembered that the one who was sent, he sent me too. He sent me to wash and to be clean and to see. And I can see. It's true. I remember that he said, I'm the light of the world. The light of the world, and I see light. Now, and I've seen the light of the world. And I've been trying to tell everybody for the last 2 days that I can see, and that it's true, and though I haven't had very much luck at it, I mean, nobody seems to believe me or to see me now. I'm still the blind guy. But I've got hope. I've got hope. For all those years, I was in darkness. But I see and I have hope now that other people, that they'll see too. And so I want to tell them that I can see. I'm going to keep telling them that Jesus is my light, that Jesus is the light of the world, that Jesus is our hope. And so that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to tell people. And so, if you excuse me, I think Hey, I see you. I see you over there. Hey, you know, who am I? You don't recognize me? Wait just a minute. Wait. Ah, you know me now, right? Yeah, I was a blind guy. But I see now. Yeah, it's a miracle. Hey, let me tell you, it's a miracle. I see.
Let's turn in our hymnals to number 570, number 570, and let's stand up to sing.
Good morning. Now is your time to make a response to the sermon. You may have an introduction of a visitor, or if you have prayer